This is Carmen DeFalco on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Carmen and Yurko podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Cap Man on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk brought to you by the Hawthorne Racecourse with sports betting on lockdown. Fans are returning to America's original sport, horse racing. Download the Club Hawthorne app and wager on races from around the world at clubhawthorneapp.com. Don't forget, we're on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Billy McKinney, Taylor Twellman, for providing some great content. You just need to toughen up, man. Toughen up. Jeez. Thank you, Danny Zetterman and Christopher Black. And Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko is now underway. Hi, Carm. Hi, Yurk. Hey. How are you, boys?
Good morning, boys. Good morning.
How are we doing?
Good. Doing great.
Good. Happy Friday.
So I was having a discussion, Yurk, with Taylor Twellman. He didn't want to, you know, engage too often. And
what was the discussion about?
I was asking him, will we ever see American soccer get to be on the level of Serie A?
EPL, the La Liga.
Yeah, all of those.
The German Bundesliga.
And will we ever see the best players here? What are you talking about? We've got the best players over here. A lot of them have come over here. And I'm thinking, and so Carm came in and said, boy, he's lucky Taylor Twellman wasn't listening to our conversation. You, Abdallah, and Meller?
Yesterday.
Merkin and Meller?
Me, Merkin, and Meller yesterday. Somehow Cristiano Ronaldo came up and, you know, Merkin said, "Is he? You know, where is he? Is he better than Messi?" I said, he and Messi and Diego Maradona and Pele, you know, probably your handful of guys that you could argue are the greatest soccer players in the history of the world, right?
Johan Cruyff, Franz Beckenbauer.
Yeah, I mean,
they'd all be in the conversation.
All be in the conversation. And Merk said, how long before you get to an American? And I laughed. I said, Merk, you probably list off 100 guys. Meller said, maybe 1,000 before you get to, I think, Landon Donovan or Clint Dempsey are probably.
You'd name 10,000 names.
Well, I don't know about 10,000.
It'd be hundreds
and hundreds of names.
It would be 10,000 names before you got to an American.
And Merck said that can't be. And we were like, it'd be.
So
you'd rattle off hundreds and hundreds, maybe even 1,000 names before you got to Landon Donovan.
Yeah, Taylor Twellman just embarrassed himself.
Well, I don't know if he embarrassed himself.
What did he say? Can we hear what he said?
He said something about how he's over the Last Dance and he wants. I said, hey, man, that's a bad take in this town.
Here's how it started, okay? This is the start of the interview.
A lot of people are excited, to have live sports to watch, and degenerates like me because we can gamble.
Absolutely. You're speaking my language. Plus, it's just going to be nice to watch something that's actually real and live versus reliving every other dynasty or whatnot. Listen, I know you're in Chicago. I've enjoyed The Last Dance, but I'm over it.
That's a bad take in Chicago. You do realize that, right?
You do know that my family's been there for about 25, 30 years. My father played for the Chicago Sting. I'm not going to consider myself from Chicago, but having lived there and family there for over 25 years, I think I can say what I want.
I get it. Your father played for the Sting.
So that's the first part.
All right.
So here's the end of there. Now, remember, 9 minutes of you guys going back and forth about American soccer on
and
the national stage?
Is that how long? I like it. I'm going to be up watching tomorrow.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
Okay. So you guys talk about soccer. Here's the end.
Well, I'll be up watching it. I know you will be up watching it, but don't disrespect The Last Dance, kid. It's awesome. I wish we had 40 more episodes.
I didn't disrespect it. I'd just rather watch something live.
Oh, my God. It is so good. It is so amazing. And you know,
he's
deep
gone.
Down, you'll be watching it Sunday night.
Gone. I don't think he liked when you called him kid, maybe. I don't know.
Did we lose Taylor?
He was gone.
Taylor.
Did we lose Taylor?
You didn't lose him.
You didn't lose him. He was done with you.
He was gone.
So what part?
I didn't know his dad played for Der Sting.
Neither did I.
Not bad.
I mean, what part? I mean, did he say that the American players will never be as good as the European players?
No. We've got a ton of excellent players
here.
Well,
they've got a ton of excellent players playing here in the United States in the MSL for what the MSL is.
MLS.
Yeah, MLS. Whatever. Yeah. MLS, MSL. The same thing. Major League Soccer, Major Soccer League. It's the same stuff.
Basically the same.
It's in the United States.
I'm going to start the Major Soccer League, actually. So,
yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one, Carl.
Right?
The point is that no, because even if they start out as kids, the training here isn't what the training is over there.
Of course not.
It's in their blood. When they're born, they've got a little ball at their feet. That's the way they work.
Yeah, we had a guy named Peter.
The same way we are with football.
Peter called in and said, and he's from Greece, he said, look, it's religion over there. It's different. He goes, I don't care how many fans go to the Atlanta FC game. No. It's not a religion. It's not like that.
You've got your athletics here in the States. I mean, we're the best at football.
Right.
Nobody plays football anywhere else. If it is, it's the guy that can't do anything else. And then he goes, well, I'll take up football because I know I'll make a team, you know, in Germany or something like that. I'll take up football because I can't play this version of football.
We're still the best at basketball.
Right.
We're the best at football. We're probably, I don't know. There's a lot of great baseball that's played in Central America and Asia.
Right, but it's still, I mean, your best league is here in America.
Well, for sure. I mean, yeah, you're right
about
that.
It's one league. The best football league is here in America.
Absolutely.
The best basketball league is here in America.
100%.
It's all here in America.
NHL, the best hockey league is here in North America. Yes.
The best leagues are in Europe. That's where the best leagues are. Even in South America, in Brazil, in this, those leagues aren't the best leagues. Their best players go elsewhere to play.
Correct. Even the Brazilians all go to Europe
to play. He made that point.
Argentinians. Yeah. Everybody goes to Europe
they
to play.
They all go to Europe.
That's where the best. Nobody grows up going, man, I can't wait to go to America to play soccer.
Right.
There's not one kid in the world that ever dreams that.
That was my point.
At the end of the day, people go like this. Well, if I have to go to America, I'll make some money, I guess. Or it's players at the end of their careers.
Right.
And that's what I said to him.
Ibrahimovic at the end of his career. Now, that doesn't mean that the players that they got here for the MLS are not good or not the best that you might have. But the best guys go over to play in Europe anyway. Pulisic is over there in Europe. Why? Because that's where the best action is. And if you're going to develop your skills, you go over there. And if you want to get paid, guess where you're going? You're going to Europe.
Well said, Yerk.
We players don't get paid
Taylor.
Here.
We do get to see Bundesliga tomorrow, though, and NASCAR. I mean, people are probably going to be tuning into this stuff. We haven't seen live sports in months.
Twellman's got a product to sell. He's the MLS guy. That's what he's got to sell. He's the man talking about Captain Morgan jumping on board. And who would have thought 10 to 15 years ago, Captain Morgan is going to jump on the board with the MLS? Nobody would have. But now they are. So, you know, they've got bigger crowds. They've got more teams. I understand why he's pumping his product. It's his product. He's the lead guy for ESPN when it comes to MLS. Okay?
Don't you feel like his job is to kind of spread the word of the MLS?
That's exactly what he's doing.
But I told Danny.
He's the head propaganda guy. That's what he is.
Exactly.
He's there trying to go ahead and tell the world how great the MLS is. And then if you're a realist or if you're a guy that watches soccer at all, you know, hey, it's okay. It's a good product. If you want to go watch, you could be entertained, but it's not the best soccer in the world by any stretch.
Thank you, Yerk. Appreciate
Period.
No, I don't think everybody knows.
Wait, hold on. Yerk's making a great Danny's going to jump through the window because
that's not really what
the conversation was. Taylor was pointing out that because American soccer doesn't make as much money on the national stage,
Danny
it doesn't work.
Said to me on the air, he's an analyst. It's not his job to sell the sport.
The semantics on his
Well, it's not the semantics. That was my point with Yerko, Chris.
Moment. There's no take that moment. That's not a take that moment.
All right, I got to go. I'm done. I'm out.
All this over soccer.
I
can't believe the passion. I'm having a tremendous discussion on soccer and the realities of soccer. I don't know how it was presented. I didn't hear the whole interview.
His point is that American soccer can never be what European soccer is because the money isn't there. Therefore, European soccer is always going to be paying more to the best players in the world, and that's why they're going to be there.
It's like we said with every other league. The best players, as good as the leagues are in Asia, for baseball, as good as they might be throughout Latin America, where does every player want to come play? They want to come play Major League Baseball, of course. I mean, like Yerko said, That's all you got. That's all you have to do to really lay it out for people to understand. These kids that play these other sports around the world want to come to our leagues to play. The kids that are playing hockey all over the world want to come to Canada or the United States to play in the NHL because that's where they're going to make the most money. That's where the competition is the best. And clearly, you don't even have to know anything about soccer. Clearly, most sports fans know, even if you dislike the game, that the best soccer in the world at the club level is played at in Europe, in the and it's not even close. I mean, there's nothing like the EPL, Serie A, Bundesliga, La Liga. Nothing.
Tomorrow will be very high-level soccer, even though they're coming off a layoff.
Of course. I mean, there's no comparison. But I think people do understand that, and they understand the economic modalities of all of this. And that's why it will probably never catch on here. Our best athletes here play different sports. They thrive in those sports. They play high-level college, potentially, with football and basketball. They make ridiculous sums of money. God bless them at the professional levels here. They all want to come here for a reason because these leagues are the best, and the best soccer players in the world, ours, like Pulisic, want to go play in Europe. Right.
Brian
Europe.
McBride, didn't he go over there?
Clint Dempsey did. McBride did for a little while. Yeah. Who's the goalie?
The goaltender, the bald-headed, Brad Friedel.
Well, yeah, but the other one, too.
Not Champagne Tony Lima.
No. Friedel played, but who am I thinking of? The more recent guy. What's the matter with you?
I got who is. He scored a goal for Everton.
Yeah.
He kicked the ball like 95 yards in the air. It bounced over the goalie's head and went in. Tim Howard.
Yeah,
Tim Howard.
Thank you.
That's his name.
Yeah,
thank
he
you.
Played he for a long a time. Star. Yeah, he was very good. I mean, but they all go there. They're not going to stay here and play. I like to support the Fire. Freddie Huebner loves
so
the Fire.
So do I.
Of course. I mean, we should support them. But
I'll go see a game. Know what I'm watching.
Exactly.
Though.
And we all know that what's real. I mean, Tim Howard was a pretty high-level goaltender. He was world-class. He didn't stay here to play when he played in Europe. Everybody, you can't argue against that.
And that was my point. I just want to know if we ever could get MLS.
No.
Never.
It will never compete for a World Cup. It will not happen.
Will America ever win a World Cup? Never.
No.
The United States?
No.
In soccer? The men's team? Absolutely not.
Never.
No. And if it will happen, it's 100 years from now. It will not happen.
Then why can the women be so amazingly dominant?
Because they started much later. Because women's sports were more progressive here probably earlier.
Right.
They got an earlier head start.
European women weren't playing soccer.
Exactly.
Nobody was. So everybody got to start at the same time.
Our ladies started playing. I don't know if that's offensive. I'm sorry. Our women started playing probably sometime around the early 90s to mid-90s. They're fabulous. And they're great athletes. They can dominate because they've had better training. Our best women's soccer player are playing here for this country. I mean, that's why they can dominate. The timelines just don't match up. Men had too much of a greater head start.
So in my lifetime, it's never going to happen.
Carmen.
We can't even qualify out of CONCACAF crying out loud.
Carmen, factually speaking,
we missed the last World Cup.
A lot of the women play both. They play here in the United States, and they play for a European team because the
true. I meant at club,
the
national
seasons,
level.
Right. Yeah. The seasons are opposite.
Well, it's like the WNBA. Diana Taurasi plays in Europe where the money's way bigger, and she plays here in the summer.
Right, yes.
So same deal.
Thank goodness for our women, because it does give us something to be excited about as soccer fans. Our men can't make the World Cup.
All right, we got to roll.
Right, but that's the reality of how good soccer is internationally. That's all. Just it's exceptional. So elsewhere, that's just the way it is.
Yes.
All right. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy the soccer in the morning, York.
Always do.
All right, kid. We will see you Monday morning for a Last Dance Monday brought to you by Coors Light. Carmen and Yurko are next. See ya.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Oh, good Led Zeppelin here. Happy Friday, one and all. It's Carmen and Yurko. Wrapping the week, Allen Robinson will join us in just about 10 minutes. We've got gambling. I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on here. You're winning, sir. We will talk gambling with Mike North at 12:45 or so, about an hour earlier than normal. By the way, Odds Couple returns next Friday, everybody.
How about that?
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel like we're getting close. We're getting back into the swing of things. Maybe we'll even have lines to talk about soon. But we've got NASCAR. You've got the Skins game with some PGA Tour professionals this weekend, Bundesliga. So there is stuff going on this weekend. Mike will join us in about a half hour. And the Odds Couple returns with a new time next Friday, 7 p.m. every Friday night.
It's DJ and Rory versus yes. Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. And DJ and Rory obviously are huge favorites, like minus 220. Who?
Matthew Wolff.
He's one of the young guns here. Yeah,
one of the young guns.
Matthew Wolff.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
And then Jim Miller's got some ponies for us at 1:30. Jim Miller, of course, from Hawthorne Racecourse. He is the Galloping Gent, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. It's Carmen and Yurko. Don't forget that Yurko is going to be on Twitch. I'm on Twitch now. Hey, Twitch. Twitch.tv, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Yurko's going to be on the station's account Sunday night to preview the final two episodes of The Last Dance. When we get back Monday, we'll be reacting one final time. It'll be a Last Dance Monday brought to you by Coors Light. But Yurko's going to set the stage for you at about 7:30 p.m. on Sunday night, just 30 minutes before episode 9 airs, and then episode 10 will follow. And very then excited. It will be all done, Yurko.
I am very excited, yes.
Yurko.
And I look forward to this one. I look forward to 9 and 10.
See how it culminates.
The culmination, really, and then the just the
culmination.
Sit back and absorb it all.
Yes.
Yurk, now that we've signed you up for Twitch, a lot of in the chat room, people are really would love for you to jump in at some point and just say hello.
I'd love to, but I am literally sitting here in this room with no pants on.
Sunday night.
Sunday night. Yeah, I'm talking now. I thought you were telling me now.
You can log on Twitch and just like while you're doing the show, you can even respond to people on the chat room.
I
don't need to see you with no pants.
Right, they're not going to see me though.
Yeah, they won't see you
on Twitch. They won't see me.
No, you won't. They won't see you. We're live here.
I am doing the show without pants today.
That's fine. I mean, you're in your home. Well, you know,
naked as a jaybird right now. Just got a top on. I had to do it. Me and Mike Thomas did our program director. We did a little video chat this morning. We talked about the politics of dancing and all sorts of other things that are happening in the world today. And I sans pants during that meeting, too. Mm. I mean, I like this stuff, this computer stuff.
You like it, Zoom?
All you got to do is have a top. You position the camera where you want to position the camera. Nobody can see anything.
Well, just, I guess, make sure you don't get up, you know,
all
like forget
types.
To well, mute that, your video.
That's double entendre there, Carm.
Yeah, well, that's
you're right.
Good point.
Make sure you don't get up. That's for sure. But there could be all types of chicanery going on, and nobody's the wiser.
No, of course. God only knows what's happening underneath that table that the camera can't see. So I mentioned Allen Robinson's going to join us in about 5-6 minutes. We could start with the NFL because James Harrison's made some news, and I think he's going about the business now of trying to clarify what exactly he meant when he said that after his big hit in 2010 on Well, this is a blast from the past. Muhammad Massaquoi, remember that name, Yurko?
Oh, sure I do, yeah.
James Harrison caused quite a stir when he said that Mike Tomlin handed him an envelope. Now, people immediately equated that with a reward for a big hit that gave a player a concussion. And Sean Payton was talking about it yesterday because he happened to be doing a radio interview. And, you know, Sean's still kind of bitter about the way things went down with Bountygate. Well, and he said, hey, don't expect the NFL to do anything with that. It was 10 years ago. They'll sweep that under the rug. What happened to us is still unfair. James Harrison's agent, longtime agent, who he still has a relationship with today, came out and said, well, that's just not true. I would have heard that story.
Who's that agent?
I'd have to look again.
I just want to see if he's a credible individual.
I know his age. It's not a big name, but I'll look it up for you.
Okay, no problem.
Art Rooney II came out and said that's preposterous, that Mike Tomlin would never have done that. James Harrison is trying to clarify, saying that, and I think what Harrison is getting at in his latest Instagram post is not that Mike Tomlin gave him an envelope of cash let's say right after the game ended.
Right.
He gave him an envelope full of cash to cover the fine that James Harrison had to pay. He was fined $50,000, Yurk.
Right.
Actually, it was $75,000, and then he appealed, and it was reduced. It's a pretty big fine back then in 2010. Remember, the league had just started kind of cracking down on all this.
Right.
So
the play itself that was in question was not penalized on the field.
It was not penalized. That is correct,
right.
Yurko. was not penalized on the field. James Harrison said he went 50% on that hit, and he said if he had known that he was going to get fined $75,000, later reduced to 50, he would have tried to kill him. That's just the mentality, whether you like it or not. I mean, you might be appalled by that. That's the mentality that a lot of players, especially players like James Harrison, had. They were most of their lives told that they had to play a certain way, that they had to have a certain kind of intensity and attitude, and there was a job to do, and that was crush everything you can on the football field. Right. And that was his mentality. Now, to me, it sounds like he's saying Mike Tomlin didn't reward him for that hit. He paid the fine for him. I think that's what James Harrison's getting
He's
at.
Saying what the fine was unfair. Everybody thought it was unfair. And if anything, what he did was go ahead and give him an envelope to pay off the fine that was levied. So here's the money. We don't think you did anything wrong. Nobody does. And as Harrison points out, the league had to pretend like they gave a crap about the players because they never care about the players. You know that. I know that. The whole world knows that. They don't care about the players. But with the concussion lawsuit, you know, like in its infancy, when it was starting to build a little bit of momentum, with the concussion lawsuit, they had to pretend like they cared. So what's the easiest way they could pretend like they care? Well, start, you know, fining guys and let's start taking money out of their pockets. How much fun is that for us? We're going to care by taking money out of their pockets. You know, they didn't change the rules. None of the rules were changed. We just deemed that hit was too aggressive, or it was too this, or it was too that. And then they started fining people arbitrarily, which is why they always wanted to fight the commissioner on having the ability to discipline players. That's why they always fought that. So he was saying that the NFL didn't really give a hoots, but all of a sudden, arbitrarily, they started finding players for hits that weren't illegal on the field. And at that time, they weren't illegal, guys. They weren't. They changed the rules here in the last 10 years and went about the business of trying to figure out how to make this game safe only really for the quarterbacks. And then they figured out, okay, let's make it safe for the wide receivers because you can't go ahead and pop a guy now crossing the middle, even though when Daryl Stingley happened to have that happen to him, nobody gave a rat's ass about Daryl Stingley. They didn't. And Daryl Stingley was a player that got paralyzed by Jack Tatum way back in the late 70s. Nobody cared about poor Daryl Stingley. They just let the business of football go about being the business of football. But now they had to pretend like they cared.
I mean, I don't know that it's so much that nobody cared. It was just I think it was viewed, Yurko, as an occupational hazard. Right? I mean, it was sort of viewed as, well,
if you play
football,
there's a chance you can get hurt. Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, I can remember the tone, the tenor and the tone of all this just a decade ago. And the players kept saying, this is sort of coming out of nowhere. Now we have to change the way we play and we have to change our mentality and sort of what we've always been taught. And we have to, you want us to eliminate the plays that, quite frankly, you as a league for decades were celebrating. You were making money off of. You celebrated these hits. They were part of best of films and NFL films highlight packages, and they were on SportsCenter, and it made you incredibly relevant and popular, and people sort of celebrated it. And then all of a sudden, we started, our conscience sort of changed about, well, okay, football we're learning is maybe even, I don't want to say more violent than we thought, but maybe more dangerous. We didn't maybe know as much about concussions. But for the players, I always felt like it was sort of, you were asking them to do a pretty quick 180, I guess. You know, and was it fair to expect them to all of a sudden, boom, overnight, change their mentality and the way they were going to play the game?
The way you were trained to play the game for the better part of 15 some odd years, all of a sudden you had to flip a switch and say, that's not the way I play anymore.
That's tough to do.
And it was impossible to do. And the other contention is, I read an article here on Pro Football Talk, is that $75,000, even if it is going for a fine or to help to pay the fine for the player because the team thought he did nothing wrong, that's some sort of inducement to keep playing the way you play, even though the play wasn't penalized on the field. So that's that little catch-22 and that trick bag that the NFL used to love to operate in. And now people want to judge 10 years later. They want to judge what that action was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. There's got to be a statute on
it. Oh, it's the great sport that you have now. That's the sport of America today.
Harrison,
let's go back in time and judge what you did 10 years ago.
Harrison put in his Instagram post, while y'all really comparing what I said to Bountygate, Mike T has never, all caps, paid me for hurting someone or trying, all caps, to hurt someone or put a bounty on, all caps, anybody.
Yeah.
So he is I think Claire, I don't want to even say walking back. I think maybe he just, maybe he didn't explain it enough. He was on with Barstool. Well, he was doing a right. podcast, and now he's just trying to say, I never said that this was a bounty. He said he gave me an envelope of cash, and I guess now I better go back and clarify because this was just as, here you go, you had to pay this fine. We're going to cover it for you. Still one of my all-time favorite Carmen, Yurko, and Harry memories was when we talked to James Harrison because I remember, and maybe Yurk was even gone. Maybe it was just me and Harry. I can't remember. If Yurk happened to be off,
was it the football
day.
Season?
No.
Yes, it was.
Well, then it was. Yeah, yeah, so Yurk had to be here.
I remember. Okay. Yeah. I remember why because I had set it up through his agent.
I guess the Bears were playing the Steelers, and it must have been. Is that why?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was. And Urlacher had just gotten hurt the week before, and you guys broke the news to Urlacher that Harrison that Urlacher was out for the year.
I remember thinking, boy, this, you know, because Harrison's kind of he's a scary guy. Yeah. I remember thinking, boy, who knows how this is going to be? He doesn't like talk much. He was a fantastic interview, actually. Like I'll never forget. We all finished and we went, boy, he was really really good.
Yep.
312-332-3776 is the number. Hit us up on Twitter at Yurko64. That's the good kid. That's Yurko with a J, by the way. And I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Allen Robinson of the Bears will talk football with us next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Wrapping the week. Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000, and the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, we're live on Twitch, twitch.tv, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. Pleased to be joined right now by a guy who had just an absolutely sensational year for the Bears in 2019, despite a season that offensively wasn't very good, but Allen Robinson certainly was. And he joins us on ESPN 1000. Allen, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, as always, for coming on. Quarantine. Now, what's it been like? How have you stayed in shape?
Yeah, it's been different. You know, again, being able to get my normal workouts in, you know, again, a little bit more so kind of doing some stuff on my own. You know, still getting workouts and stuff sent from my trainer. But, you know, I've had access to weights. I've had access to be able to get running in and things like that, you know. So I haven't been too much different. I mean, a little lonely, but not too much different.
Have you been able to work with your hands catching the ball, or are you just, like, trying to stay physically, you know, in the best shape you can?
Yeah, I've been able to do both. You know, I've been able to catch some footballs, you know, via people, via machine, you know. So I've been able to do both.
Have you been able to stay in touch with teammates?
I have. You know, I think that that's just been the toughest thing is as far as us, you know, just kind of having to do stuff on our own and not being able to get that on the field work, you know, with each other, with our coaches and things like that.
Is there anything kind of virtual that you guys have been able to do together or something as a team that you've been able to do with this distance?
Yeah, well, doing like team meetings and Zoom meetings and stuff like that. But football-wise, there hasn't been anything that we've been able to kind of do, I mean, besides that. So, I mean, that's just kind of where we're at right now. And, you know, everybody's just kind of making the best of it.
So, Allen, have you been able to, like, work with Mitch, with Nick, with the quarterbacks? Will that come at some point over the summer? Can you give us an idea what that's been like?
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, I've been able to get some work in with Mitch, you know, and again, Nick is in California, you know, so, I mean, obviously, okay. I haven't been able to get much work in with him, you know, so hopefully, you know, when this thing shakes down a little bit, you know, we'll all be able to get a throwing session together, you know, as a whole offensive unit. You know, that's the goal at some point, and hopefully that comes sooner rather than later.
Allen, how's Mitch's mindset from what you can tell? You know, Nick Foles brought in, they traded for him, they paid him. The fifth-year option for Mitch was not picked up. So can you tell us what his mindset is like right now?
Yeah, you know, I think he's in very good spirits. You know, again, And again, I think the biggest thing for any player in the league is just, you know, when it comes to a situation like that, you have to just focus on yourself. You know, again, I mean, you can't think too much about it. You got to go out there and try to continue to improve yourself as a player, you know, which I think he's doing. You know, which I think he's done, you know, each and every offseason. You know, he's just going into it with, again, trying to be a better Mitchell Trubisky, you know, and I think that's all that you can do.
Who do you think is going to win this quarterback competition, Allen?
I have no idea. You know, again, I have no idea. Again, I think that, you know, we have a they have a training camp. You know, we have a lot to go through. You know, so again, I have literally not the slightest of idea.
The tight end position here has been in a state of flux for a couple of years with the Trey Burton situation. They've addressed it, not only in free agency, but in the draft. How much better can this offense be when it has viable tight ends?
You know, I think it can be good. You know, again, I think last year, you know, I think our offensive play, you know, from the tight end position, you know, I think for the guys who came in and played, you know, for, again, I mean, we had JP who didn't go through training camp with us, you know, we had off of practice squad, you know. So I think that those guys will come in and play well, you know. And, again, I think that that's something, whenever you can have, you know, good production from any room, I think that makes the offensive of unit, you know, much better. And that's receivers, running back type, or whatever the case may be.
There's a lot of challenges in the state of Illinois right now. Everybody knows what's happening. It looks like Illinois is going to be one of the last states to kind of get things up and get things in motion and get things going with Governor Pritzker and Lightfoot up here in beautiful Chicago. The reality is that they're still not opening up beaches. They're still not opening up some public access areas. Have you thought at all about the chance that you guys might not be playing at Soldier Field this year and that you might have to go to another state that doesn't have as much COVID impact as the state of Illinois does?
You know, I haven't thought about that. You know, again, there's so much, you know, looming as far as the season and how it will go, if we'll have fans, if we'll do this, you know, so it's so much to digest right now. You know, for me, I try not to think much of it at all, you know, because I don't really think anyone knows, you know, and it's a lot up in the air. So again, I mean, I think that most players would be devastated, you know, not to play in Soldier Field, you know, but again, I mean, I'm sure that the league will do best for whatever it has to do to get the games played.
Alan Robinson is our guest, Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. You guys play a dangerous sport to begin with. And, you know, your bodies are always sort of on the line and in jeopardy considering the sport you play. But with everything else going on, have you thought about how safe it's going to be because of COVID-19 to all be together and playing in the fall? And does that worry you at all?
Maybe slightly. Again, I think it more so personally, I think it more so worries me about, you know, people that I may come in contact with and family members and things like that. You know, that's why I think it's the most worrisome. You know, but at the end of the day, like you said, for what we do and what we like, sporting itself and everything like that, you know, it's only so much that we can do. Mm-hmm. Even from a training standpoint, you know, it's only so much that we can do, you know, whether that's inside or at home and things like that, you know, because again, we still have to get ready for a season. You know, I think that's something that, you know, for most guys, you know, that they have in their mind right now. You know, it's like, you know, you can take precautions, you can take all the precautions, but, you know, you still have to do certain measures to get ready for a season, which is like run, catch passes, and things like that.
Can you give us any update on your contract situation as you go into the last year of your deal?
I do not have any update as far as that is concerned.
Will you be upset if you don't get an extension?
No, I won't be upset at all. You know, again, like I said before, for me, you know, I understand the nature of the business. You know, I understand how everything goes. You know, and like I said before, I mean, that's something that, you know, I've been in now for 7 years. You know, well, going on 7 years. So for me, you know, it's not something that is frustrating or whatever. You know, like I said before, I understand the business of football. You know, from my standpoint and from a team standpoint, you know, I do. Those are things that I understand. You know, so I wouldn't be upset at all.
All right. So you wouldn't like go to camp and say I'm holding out or anything like that. Doesn't sound like it.
No. I wouldn't.
All right.
I wouldn't.
Hey, Alan Robinson, for a few more minutes. You're a big basketball fan. We know that. Have you enjoyed The Last Dance?
I have. You know, it's been awesome. You know, again, to just kind of feel like you're not a part of that kind of whole like a regime, but to be able to get a lot of insight into Michael Jordan and his thought process and how he thought about different things and how he went about different things, you know, I think it's very, very special to see. And just as somebody who didn't really hear a lot come from Michael Jordan, you know, I think that we hear a lot of people talk about Michael Jordan, but you never really hear it come from Michael Jordan. So to hear a lot of things come from him and how he prepared and how he played and his mindset and how his interactions was with his teammates, you know, it's definitely extremely interesting to see.
You were, look, you're 26. So by Michael's, by the end of the dynasty, I mean, you know, you're 5 years old. Yeah. Do you recall any of that? Or did you like just experience Michael as you got a little older and he was already retired?
a very, 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 very small portion of it. You know, I do remember having a Scottie Pippen jersey. You know, I do remember being young, having a Scottie Pippen jersey and having a Michael Jordan jersey. You know, I do remember those things as far as being young, you know, but as far as, you know, certain games and things like that, I really can't recall.
Yeah.
But I can kind of recall the whole, like, Michael Jordan-esque kind of feel when it came to just the world of basketball.
Am I remembering correctly? Did you tell us that you're a big Laker fan?
I'm a big Kobe Bryant fan.
Big Kobe Bryant fan, okay.
Yeah. So I was a big Kobe Bryant fan, and also, you know, around the Piston days, and they had Chauncey Billups and Richard Hamilton and those guys. You know, I was a Pistons fan, but over the years, unfortunately, you know, I haven't been such. I've kind of geared more so towards players.
Yeah.
You know, I think which is kind of how the league is going in basketball. You see a lot of different guys. Like I think they were saying, the top five players or top 10 players of the past kind of 5 years have either retired or switched teams.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, seeing LeBron James now on the Lakers, you know, Tim Duncan retire, you know, Kevin Garnett retire, Kevin Durant not with Oklahoma City anymore, Russell Westbrook, you know, James Harden, you know, a lot of those guys have switched teams. So it's kind of hard to keep up with teams nowadays.
All right, Alan, we appreciate the time. Thanks for all the info and everything that you've been up to, and hopefully we'll talk to you at a training camp at some point here in the next couple of months, all right?
Most definitely. Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Alan. There he is. Alan Robinson said that he understands the business side of football. He will not be upset. I'm sure maybe part of him would be, but
yeah. He
said he'll play the season. He told us he's not going to go to camp and hold out or anything like that, and he'll play the season if he doesn't get a contract extension. So at least that's good to hear. He's not going to make waves, right?
It's a good thing to hear. I wonder what the Bears would rather want, to play at Soldier Field in front of an empty stadium or play at Notre Dame Stadium in front of 20, 25,000 people.
It's an interesting question. You should have asked them that.
Well, I think that's a question we're going to have to ask the bigwigs. I think that might be one area that we might have to go.
Yeah.
There's a chance to get revenue or not get revenue. Which direction do you think the Chicago Bears would go?
312-332-3776. And we'll talk to Mike North coming up next about some gambling action this weekend.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
The Noon Hour with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. We don't know what lies in the weeks to come, but one thing is certain. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. Never been a better time to be looking at a cash-out refinance. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com. So after a couple of months hiatus because of COVID-19 and the virtual shutdown of all sports, Odds Couple is back next Friday night. We're going to be at a new time. It'll be 7 o'clock Friday night. So you'll still get the encore replay, which is so valuable in the fall, assuming there is college and pro football, and we sure hope there is, and we think there will be. You'll get the encore replay every Saturday morning at 8, but next Friday, Mike and I will pick things back up again. Mike still joins us every Friday, normally at 1:45. We're doing it a little bit earlier today, and we've got some gambling this weekend to talk about. He is at North to North on Twitter, and he joins Carmen and Yurko now. Mikey, what's up?
I can't believe it. We're coming back. The band's back together.
Back
what can I tell
together.
You?
Back together. That's it. We knew
Loggins
it was only...
and Messina.
That's right.
Seals and Crofts. Are you kidding me?
It's only a matter of time.
Oh, it was only look. You know what? Here's when you know when America opens, when the Odds Couple is back.
That's right.
That's when it's opening.
It's LJB.
I mean,
yes.
Seriously. I'm telling you right now, we're looking good. We're feeling good. We got action this week. There's UFC, Carm, and in York State. There's but our favorite, of course, NASCAR from Darlington.
That's right, from Darlington.
Ooh,
yeah, which
yeah,
is
yeah, you gotta love that.
There's that. There's the well, there's some soccer. So what are we thinking this weekend?
Well, you know what? I'm looking at one of my favorite guys. He came off a hot streak right before they closed things up, and Joey Logano. Uh-oh. Joey Logano, I like him going off at 7-1. Okay, I like Marty Truex Jr. at 19-2, but Erik Jones is an interesting guy at 13-1. You always look for those nuggets. or guys you've never heard of
right.
that are really low in the odds. I don't know. I mean, I follow NASCAR a little bit. You turn it on, you watch it a little bit,
sure.
you see what's on news. Have you guys ever heard of Eric Jones? I had never heard of him.
He's
got a good price.
I have heard of Eric Jones. He's races for Joe Gibbs Racing. He took over the 20 car for Matt Kenseth. He's mm-hmm. a protege of Kyle Busch's. He's run for Kyle Busch in some minor league circuits in the truck series. So, yeah, Eric Jones is with a good team. He's a tremendous driver, and it's just a matter of time before he starts stacking up the victories.
Well, and if you get some odds on it, like Mike said, I kind of like that a little bit.
13-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, 13-1, and then, you know, we got the UFC. But you know what? This is always something. At least we're going to get our feet wet right now.
That's right.
You know, and it's going to be a different deal. There's not going to be a driver playing a video game
right.
that we're watching the driver play the video game on, which to me has been crazy. I haven't been into the E-type of sports, so this is going to be good to get our feet wet. We're getting ready for the football season. We're getting ready for the NFL. We have a West Virginia president in college threatening to dress himself if they don't come back. He's 79 years old. You know, he wants to get that thing going. I mean, seriously, everybody's starting to get antsy,
I know.
I'm feeling good in Yerk. You know, Yerk's been with on the golf and also
yes.
Men Without Masks. We've had a lot of support
right.
there. And Carmen, I saw your bourbon thing last night, but you know what? Let's face it. Without the odds couple, Piece of Americana has been gone.
I know. That's why it'll be nice to get back next weekend. Next Friday night, we're going to be back. There's going to be more and more to talk about, it looks like, which is a great
Guys,
thing.
And the German Soccer League, the Bundesliga is on.
Yep.
Eintracht Frankfurt with a big game, guys.
All right.
Against Bayern.
Nice town, Frankfurt.
Beautiful.
Especially this time of year.
Yes,
you should see
gorgeous.
Their wieners there, kid. They're phenomenal.
Logano.
I'm just glad we're going to have some action, guys. That's all I can tell you.
I am, too. And Mike is looking at Logano, Truex. And who is the other kid? Eric Jones? Is that his
Eric
name?
Jones. Eric Jones. Carm, it will be fun. I don't know if we're – is it the social distancing embracing guys when I see you guys, or what is it?
I don't know. There's not a lot of handshaking and embracing right now, Mike. We'll just do, like,
Mikey,
you know, elbows out for the most part, Mike.
When I see it, we're going
right.
to hug. We're going to hug, Mike.
All right, guys.
We'll see, talk to you next
York
week.
Will give a hug.
See you, Mike. Talk to you next week. There's Mike North at North to North on Twitter. So, yeah, get into it this weekend at Darlington. That's one of the famous ones in South Carolina,
sure
right,
is. Darlington, absolutely.
All right.
Love that racetrack.
I'm looking.
A lot of good quality racing there. Tire wear is always an issue.
Okay, very good. So there's that. There's Bundesliga. There's the Skins game. Slowly but surely there will be.
Yes.
There will be more and more, Yurko. Chris Black, one of our great producers, put together a really nice sort of summation, like recap of episodes 1 through 8 of The Last Dance so far. Coming up after 1 o'clock, we're going to play that. You can just sit back and enjoy, and kind of brings you up to speed if maybe you did miss anything in these past few weeks, leading us into the finale on Sunday evening. Remember, 8 o'clock for episode 9, and then episode 10, the final one, will follow. Yurko will be on the station's Twitch channel at about 7:30. Yurko's our anchor. So we've taken turns as hosts, me, Sylvie, Waddle, Cap, starting at 7:30 each Sunday, just kind of previewing what's going to be coming up, talking about some of our favorite MJ/Bulls 90s dynasty memories, show off the crib a little bit, you know, show off the man cave a little bit. Yurko's is very impressive. He can maybe, you know, give you
a lot of Green Bay Packers stuff.
Well,
you're not going to find a lot of Bulls stuff down there.
People understand.
A lot of golf stuff.
People
you know,
understand.
A lot of pictures of Johnny Handsome, and if you were me, why wouldn't you want to have pictures of yourself up?
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Can you just make sure you wear pants, Yurko?
Yeah, I'd wear pants
Sunday.
For that one.
Guys,
yeah.
Sunday I'll have pants.
And then tonight from 6 to 7, we're calling it the best of The Last Dance with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
I like it.
You'll hear a bunch of clips from our great interviews that we've done, and also clips from The Last Dance.
Oh, like all The Last Dance guests we've had
right.
on?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, we've talked to so many. Think about the list of people.
Yeah.
Right? From Barkley's been on the station. Craig Elo.
Isaiah. Carmen Electra.
Carmen Electra. We talked to John Sally.
John Starks.
John Starks was on the radio station. Who else? We had
Dan Marley
last week.
Terry Francona.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Terry Francona talking about managing.
It's a who's who.
Belton Bill Melton, who was great talking about MJ and working
and
with him.
Coach Mike. I forget Mike's last name.
Mike Barnett.
Coach Mike, yeah.
Bob Costas,
yeah.
Old Milky Eyes himself was on.
He even made a joke, a self-deprecating joke about the Milky Eyes.
He did, 100%. That's what you're known for now.
I'm gonna miss it. I gotta be honest with you guys. I'm gonna miss the whole like
build up every week of like the last stands. And
what's the next one they got coming up?
Well, there's a bunch of third. There's some new 30 for 30s Bruce coming Lee. Out. There's a Bruce Lee one, which I can't wait for.
Yeah, boy.
Lance Armstrong.
Oh, boy, that guy. Whoa, he's just one nut, isn't he?
Yes.
That
yes,
guy.
Funny, Yurko. Yes.
Oh, boy.
And then Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa.
Now, that's the next one I'm waiting for.
That's like mid-June.
Sosa one.
You're not a little intrigued by the Bruce Lee one? I mean...
No, because in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the backup actor kicks the living crap out of Bruce Lee.
Yeah,
so.
But first of all, you know that's...
For me, it was all a joke.
That's fiction.
For me, it was all a joke. Well, I mean, the wife that got killed on the boat... That may have been fictional, but boy, it did draw from something real, didn't it, Carm?
You know, I guess his family was real upset with that scene too. They said that he wasn't like that. They say Steven Seagal was like that. That Steven Seagal was always walking around the set challenging people to fight.
Yeah, everybody, how tough he was.
And that's maybe where the story came from, because apparently one of the stunt, some famous Hollywood stunt coordinator, mm-hmm. Who was an expert in martial arts, took him to the woodshed one day, and it really embarrassed Steven Seagal. And maybe that's where it came from. I do love that scene, though, in Once Upon a Time.
It's a great scene.
It is it might be the best scene in the movie.
He's fixing the antenna on top of the roof, and he goes back to that scene.
It is absolutely fabulous, Yurk.
And he was on the boat, but the preceding that scene was he was on the boat, and his wife was just ripping his boat apart, this apart, and he had a spear gun in his hand.
It is an incredible
scene. So the assumption is that he fired the spear gun off right in her boiler.
I love that.
And let her be fish food after that.
I really love that movie.
You know what? I didn't like it at first. Remember, Carm?
Yeah.
I didn't have a positive thing. It's grown on me. I've recorded it.
So good.
I've sit back and I've watched a little bit. Yeah, it's grown on me, kid.
When we come back next, we'll play Chris Black's great montage that he's put together celebrating episodes 1 through 8. And then I've got some NFL stuff, including an amazing stat about Aaron Rodgers, who's going to speak for the first time later today since the Packers drafted Jordan Love. We're back in 2 minutes.